You're listening to DraftKings Network.
Did you guys see that J.J. Barea said that Dirk Nowitzki, and this isn't much of a surprise, but Dirk Nowitzki kept this shrouded pretty good, that Dirk Nowitzki hated LeBron, Wade, and Bosh, that he hated the whole thing, and that he got great joy beyond the obvious reasons for joy of being one of the few last guys to win an NBA championship as the one star on their team. I guess Kawhi Leonard would also qualify.
Who was the second star on those Mavs teams?
Oh, my God. Was it Josh Howard?
I think you're
Tyson Chandler. Yeah. Tyson Chandler. Jason Kidd, just from a like resume standpoint.
So he takes a great deal of pride in being one of the last guys to win a championship kind of the traditional way. Hey, I was drafted here. They built around me. I finally got it done. He beat the big three basically by himself. I mean, him and J.J.
But I don't think the traditional way is the way that Dirk won it. I think the traditional way is to have multiple Dirks. I believe you can look at a couple of teams ever, like Chauncey Billups. Like, it's usually not one star. It's usually not.
It's Michael, Scotty, it's Shaq and Kobe. You're right. It's Bird and McHale.
Well, that's what was so stunning about right. that championship. That's how I ended up in a Speedo losing a bet to Charles Barkley, because I simply didn't believe, given what basketball history was, that one guy could be three of them.
The Dallas Mavericks have always had this unique roster construction because they take former all-stars and they convert them into role players. So when you actually look at that Dallas Mavericks roster that beat the Miami Heat, which was a massive upset, you see these names like, wow, Jason Terry, Jason Kidd, Sean Marion, all these tremendous players, like Hall of Famers and borderline Hall of Famers. But at the time in their career when they contributed in this role-playing sort of role for Dallas, they weren't those level of players. It's a very unique thing to the Dallas Mavericks.
Was he specific as to what he hated about it? Did he hate how they came together? Did he, like, what did he hate about it?
I'm guessing that one of the things that he hated is the whole quote-unquote coughing incident, which is that he was sick and he was hurting and he played through it, and it was something that the Heat took as melodramatic, and that he was doing some thespian work. And because these guys were so good about staying out of controversy with things that they said, when they came into the arena and they were pretending to cough and stuff, because I don't know if these guys invented this move, but I do believe that they were being so hyperanalyzed that they were the guys who started talking to fellow players while covering their mouth with their jersey so that nobody could lip read. That's how they were covered, and that's how they were skittish about being covered. And I was surprised to see them do that in the finals to Dirk Nowitzki, because there is nobody out there, Stugatz. What's the last bad thing? He's got some stuff in his personal life that has been controversial, but the last bad thing you heard anybody say about Dirk Nowitzki?
I haven't. I mean, not that I'm sitting there tracking bad things said about Dirk Nowitzki, but you're right. I've never, in fact, now that I'm thinking about it, I don't think I've ever heard anyone say anything bad about Dirk.
He was a consummate professional and a Hall of Famer, and one of the reasons for that is because he would not tell you out loud what J.J. Barea just told you, which is that he hated LeBron James, Dwayne Wade, and Chris Bosh.
Which he probably hates J.J. Barea right now.
For revealing that, because this is the first negative attention Dirk's had in some time. I mean, part of what's going on there with this Dwayne Wade, I imagine, too, was 2006, which since then has been mired in controversy because there's the notion out there that crooked refs helped hand that title to the Miami Heat.
That story that got Mark Cuban fined left and right, and if you've been following what it is that we were doing around here, there was a really good South Beach session with a guy who does the Whistleblower podcast, where he goes deeper, Stugatz, than I've ever seen anyone go on how bad that referee scandal was and how good the NBA was about making it evaporate by just attacking the lone wolf, and sports reporters just sort of wandered away with a, oh, never mind, while the owner of the Mavericks was getting fined unprecedented amounts of money and going to unbelievably zealous lengths to make referees accountable so that they couldn't fix games. You're talking about, did Dwayne Wade take 25 free throws in one of those games?
I'll check on it. I think that was game 4 Or game five where we did that?
Game three, it was season on the line. They were about to go down 3-0 in the series and had to overcome seven. Game four was a very similar situation for the Miami Heat.
I think he took a record number of free throws in that series. And remarkably enough, good Lord, I would love to ask Avery Johnson about this. He just never stopped double-teaming Shaq. He just was playing the traditional way of, I've got to stop the big man in the post, even if the big man in the post is averaging like 12 points a game at this point because he's not very good anymore.
Not even like the most effective big man that Miami had.
Alonzo Mourning
was killing it that
Alonzo
series.
Alonzo Mourning would come on the court, and you're like, oh, that's what a giant athletic guy looks like running down the court, as opposed to old lumbering Shaq who didn't have much left. But Dwayne Wade, if you never stop doubling Shaq, Dwayne Wade was getting all the foul calls, and as an added bonus, Mark Cuban was going crazy. Can you imagine how frustrating that must be if you're an owner who cares about your team the way that that Mark Cuban does, and there are very few who care as publicly as he does, to feel like the referees are purposely fixing your games and to accuse them of it, and then find the investigation to be unsatisfactory, and everyone thinks you're an unhinged loon because you're getting fined more than anyone in the history of ownership is getting fined because you won't shut up. That'll make you crazy. That will make you, in terms of, some people have a persecution complex, but what if you are actually persecuted? How much of a bummer is that?
Yeah.
If you're actually persecuted and you're railing to everybody, I've got a persecution complex because I'm persecuted.
And no one's believing
and
you.
And everyone's like, oh, shut up. Yeah, and then there's Stugatz on the radio. Quit with your excuses, guy. Win the game. Bottom line, show me the W's.
Look, you can't ever take away the 2006 NBA championship from the Miami Heat. But even as cocky Heat fan, whenever someone tries to bring that up, that the refs, I just sort of stay quiet and I slink in my chair because I'm like, yeah, maybe. The Wade foul thing was a little shady. But I guess we're feeling a little nostalgic this week. And I was just remembering, you mentioned that Dirk disliked Bosh, disliked Wade, disliked LeBron. It reminds me of like that 2006 series where Avery Johnson kept doubling Shaq, and what was always open was that mid-range jumper from Udonis Haslem, who in that series, and you have the result of 2011, where Bosh is a tremendous defensive player, but you can't do anything to stop Dirk Nowitzki. Udonis Haslem
bothered him.
In that 2006 NBA Finals, did such an amazing job. It was like forever ago, but he did such an amazing job defensively on Dirk.
Wade had back-to-back games where he was 37 of 46 from the foul line. He was 21 of 25, 16 of 21. Game 6, the closeout games, the final two games of the NBA Finals, Wade spent the entire games at the foul line.
That is something to look back on and wonder about journalism coverage in general, Stugatz. When you're talking about places where we are ill-equipped to talk about some of the crud that happens around us, do you realize how poorly investigated it was as part of that whistleblower podcast that ESPN basically signed a partnership deal according to, I don't remember the guy's name, Mike. Forgive my ignorance on this. Tim Livingston, the reporter who covered this story for 8 years, that ESPN basically 6 days later, or something ridiculous like that, after the Donaghy scandal, gave the big contract. And since then, people are just sort of like scratching their head. Well, it was just one guy, right? It was just one rogue referee. This has never happened before. This is just one bad apple that we then turned around and turned into our gambling expert? Did we turn him into, we just kept, how many times did we call Tim Donaghy?
I have my regrets.
Timmy D.
Over the years.
He was our celebrity prognosticator, and we're like, look at us. This is brilliant.
Wait a minute, Billy, I asked you this weekend, did Ric Flair win? Did we bid, speaking of celebrity prognosticator, did we end up beating Colin Cowherd for the season with our celebrity prognosticator? I believe I have it right, Stugatz, do I not? That in three seasons, we are 2-1 against Colin Cowherd with a random assortment of celebrities. We're just up like a couple of games here with Chris Jericho having an amazing run. Colin Cowherd has been strong toward the end of the season. I thought we'd already won because Cowherd said he wasn't making any picks publicly and he was done for the season. But then we had Ric Flair on. How did Flair do?
Well, okay. I'm glad you asked that, Dan, because Colin Cowherd said He's taking the week off. This is Christmas week. He's taking the week off, but he'd be releasing some picks on Twitter, which is shenanigans.
This is what he does.
Make the picks. Yeah. Make the picks or don't make the picks, Colin. Don't be teasing us with your picks on Twitter. And what I'm doing right now, Dan, if you can't tell us, I'm stalling so I can open the doc so I can give you the accurate numbers. So Ric Flair came on 2 weeks ago, and he picked five games.
Hold
and
on.
Ric Flair
Hold on.
Headed
Hold,
into it.
I want to go through all the games. I want to go through what did he pick. I want to do this slowly because this is very – this is dramatic here. We're up just a couple of games over Colin Cowherd.
This is dramatic. Hold on one sec, Bill. I would also like to quickly point out that in that NBA Finals, Dwayne Wade went to the foul line 97 times. The next highest guy was Dirk at 55.
Okay, very good. Or 42 more free throws. All right, Billy. So just give us one by one. Ric Flair picked who against whom?
Okay, Dan, I'm going to change the tone of my voice so that it's more serious.
Thank
and
you.
Everybody knows the gravity of the situation.
All right.
Now, headed into week 16, our celebrity prognosticator's record was 40-33, and Colin Cowherd was 38-35-2. So he was only two games back. Now, he, as you said earlier, decided to take the week off, even though he tweeted out four picks later in the week.
Oh, did he? Wait a minute. Do we know what the four picks of his? So we need to. All right, hold on a second. Slow this down.
Slow down.
Sorry. So read to me again, please, because are you sure you did the math right on that? Because I'm not sure. I'm not sure I heard you right. Give me again the two records, because it sounded to me quickly that we were four games up is what it sounded like.
Well, we're 40-33-2, and he was 38-35-2.
Okay, all right.
So that's three in the loss column.
Was it?
No.
No, it wasn't.
33-35 is two games, and then it's probably like one game when you do the half.
What's our magic number, Bill?
All right, I don't want to do magic number. Let's figure this out. All right, so who did Cowherd pick? Who were the four picks?
Oh, you want Cowherd's? Okay, now he was just kind of trickling these out one at a time.
He did a blazing four,
he got crazy, did two at a time, yeah. He had the Rams plus two, the Cowboys plus 2.5, the Jaguars plus 7.5. And the Colts minus 1.5. And of course, as you guys all know off the top of your heads, the Rams did not cover. That was an L. The Cowboys, as you guys remember, they did cover. The Jaguars did not. That was another L. And the Colts also lost for Colin.
Oh, wow. So we won.
So one and
he
three.
Won 1-3. Now it all comes down to old Nature Boy. What did he do?
But he's got to go 0-5 for.
Mm-hmm.
That's
he does.
Let's see what happened.
All right. He picked the Raiders or the Dolphins minus 3 over the Raiders.
L.
That was a loss. He picked the Colts 1.5 over the Steelers. And as we just reported,
L.
That was a loss. He picked the Packers minus 3 over the Titans. That was a big win. He picked the Bills over the Patriots. That was a win. He picked the Saints over the Vikings.
Yes, 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 yes,
yes, but.
What do you mean, but?
Colin came out this week and made five more picks.
No.
This is what he does.
No. Okay, so wait a minute. So these five, now I don't know what the record keeping is. So he made five more picks, and now we have the results in hand of those five picks. So how did he do with those five picks? We have those more recently. We're going to remember. So let's hear what you have with his most recent five picks, and then we'll have to go back and do all the math on this.
All right. Now, headed into that week, this week, I guess, technically, the celebrities were 43-35-2, and Colin was 39-38-2. So he's striking distance if he goes 4-0 or 5-0, right? He picked the Giants plus 1.5. That was a win.
That's a win?
Yep.
He picked the 49ers plus 6.5. That was a win.
Uh-oh.
Oh, no.
He picked the Eagles plus 2.5. That was a loss.
Yeah.
He picked the Titans minus 7.5. That was a loss.
Yes.
He picked the Panthers plus 6.5.
Yes.
That was a loss.
Yes! Yes! Glory be to God!
What's any of this mean?
Bleep yourself, Cowherd!
Did we win?
Yes!
That sound came too?
We got that sound? We got that sound. This is very exciting, people. We've got a couple of sounds. We're able to come with us.
So what's the magic number, Bill?
We won. It's all over. There is no need for a magic number.
Splash.
Chris, I saw something that made me think of you over the weekend because I don't know if you saw it, but basically I've never understood, okay, the entire Friends phenomenon. The show Friends, the word association that I do with Friends is Chris Cody once claimed or said that he had an idea for a movie where you bring back the Friends reunion and then it takes a dark turn and there's a murder involved and it becomes a murder mystery.
Damn right.
Now, Friends made for Warner Brothers $1 billion, and the Friends cast gets $20 million in royalties a year. And ooh. So this, yeah, it's a crazy, man, crazy successful show. But, Chris, the reason I thought of you is because there's a theory that originated from a 2015 Twitter post, and a user shares how they thought the series should have ended. In their version of the story, and forgive me, I've lost my place here.
Oh man, I was about to fill. I was about to do some
great their version of too. The story.
I was about to so hop in.
In fact, while you're looking, looking it up, who would be the most likely of the Friends to commit murder? Who do you guys think? Like, who would that be? Who would
either commit? Ross or Phoebe, I think.
Well, the theory is Phoebe here, but now I've got to find this story that I've misplaced. Just give me a second. I'm sorry.
So murder did occur.
I mean, Dan keeps shooing away people like trying to fill for him and making the edit so much worse. Let them help you.
So here is the headline. Friends, oh, for the love of God. It keeps telling me I've made my billionth search. Congratulations, you are today's lucky user.
Ooh, what's your prize?
Wow,
what's
billionth. Yeah. Wow.
Also, what's your social security number?
Yeah, what do you get for that?
And then you'll get the raft or whatever it is that they give away.
Yeah.
I'm hoping you leave all of this in. Are you going to leave all of this in?
Yeah, it's embarrassing.
Have you guys ever had a phase where you thought, I could be a kayaker?
What does that have to do with what we're talking about?
Well, maybe the prize is a kayak. I don't know.
It's filling.
I mean, he keeps trying to help you, Dan.
Friends' darkest fan theory is so terrible that even the show's co-creator hates it, is the story. Oh, for the love of God, it did it again to me!
Oh, wow, congrats!
1 billion and one!
Two kayaks.
You getting a PS5?
Look up the dark theory on the internet. Look it up for yourselves. It involves Phoebe being homeless and dreaming the whole thing.
Wow.
Fascinating.
A billion searches.
Twice.